interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare.
Be afraid.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Ghouls and gore. And sometimes a little more. My Bloody Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Bloody Podcast. It's March 22nd. It is the day that Ghostbusters Frozen Empire has released upon the world. This makes Ghostbusters number 4, Quattro, and actually maybe Ghostbusters number 5, Cinco, I think. And I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm joined by the ghost host with the most, Preston Barta. What's up?
I wish I thought of something clever before jumping into this, but I'll bring it back up. I've got Slimer Butt right here from the popcorn bucket.
Oh, well, the popcorn bucket Slimer. It's amazing. From Cinemark. I mean, that looks cooler to me than the Dune popcorn bucket, but...
Yeah, I was telling, because I gave it to my son this morning. I went to go see Rad last night, and then going into the screening, I was like, oh, they still have the popcorn buckets because they sell all the popcorn buckets ahead of the movie, which makes no sense to me. I don't know why you would not release it on the weekend that it's coming out. Anyway, I told my son that I would make some popcorn tonight because tonight's movie night in our house, and I would dye it green. So it's like he's eating out of Slimer's mouth.
That's cool. What are y'all watching tonight? What's movie night tonight?
I don't know. We haven't quite picked yet. So I don't know if he always makes really interesting choices because I try to give him the room to pick something. So we're either like pull out of our bag of movies that we've watched so much, and every once in a while he'll be like, I want to watch something new that I haven't watched before. Because we often watch The Mummy. We often watch Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean, the Power Rangers movie, which we're going to do on Fear and Loathing at some point. So stuff like that. But we've already watched all the Ghostbusters movies recently, so it ain't going to be that.
It ain't going to be that. All right. So on My Bloody Podcast, we talk about horror. We talk about horror movies, horror movie music, or violent, gory movies, because it's bloody. Today we're going to do the new Ghostbusters movie, because Preston and I sat next to each other and watched this movie in a theater, in the IMAX theater this week, and we got to talk about it, because, Ghostbusters is horror, and it's comedy, and this is the fifth one in kind of this franchise they've got going. You have the two original, you have the all-chick version, and then you have Afterlife, kind of like the revamped legacy sequel that came out a couple years ago, and then now the sequel to that, which is Frozen Empire, and we're gonna dive into that today. I think it goes to say that both Press and I both love Ghostbusters. Like, we grew up on it, we love it. I think Ghostbusters 1, and to a degree Part 2, they're so iconic, you still quote them. Those characters are just they're cult icons, or they're pop icons. Like, they're in mainstream. Everybody loves to be a Ghostbuster. I'm sure at some point, most everybody listening to this show, or you know somebody that is dressed as a Ghostbuster, it's just a fun thing. And it doesn't make sense. Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense after the second one that came out in the 90s, they didn't do any more, but it just took so long to reinvigorate and revitalize that franchise. Now we have what we have today. So the sequel of the legacy sequel came out, Frozen Empire. It's out now, and we're going to talk about it here on My Bloody Podcast. And Preston, how do you think this conversation is going to go?
Well, I already know what you think about the movie because you posted your thoughts in review. So I didn't read your review yet because I knew that we were probably discuss it, so I'll read it after.
Okay.
I did see your thoughts.
Yes, I did post a social media and I wrote a sentence or two on it. But so the original Ghostbusters movies from the 80s, it was directed by Ivan Reitman, and then these legacy sequels, the one from last year, Afterlife, and this one, Frozen Empire, the first one being Afterlife was directed by his son, Ivan Reitman's son, Jason Reitman, who's done some good movies. But this one was only partly written and produced by Jason Reitman, and it was directed by Gil Keenan, who hasn't done much, but his claim to fame was Monster House, the animated movie Monster House, and then he did a remake of Poltergeist in 2015. After that, he hasn't really done much as far as directing until really kind of this movie. But I guess, where do we start with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire? I guess, were we excited for this? I guess the trailer looked really good. Afterlife, I liked mostly. It's a very different movie than the original, but there were elements that I liked about it. I think Afterlife went for a more Spielbergian, J.J. Abrams style of tone, where the original films were definitely not that. And it works, kids movie type of thing, but I think they're keeping with that element here now. But in this sequel, to me, oh man, it drops the ball on pretty much every level to me. I did not like it. Preston, I'm curious on if you liked it for a certain reason or two, or if you're looking at it unbiasedly.
I assume you're referring to my son loving the Ghostbusters.
Yes, yes.
No, I didn't let that. I mean, it's a, even when we watched Jurassic World Dominion together, even Jurassic Park or Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, I recognized the shit in those films. Like, but there's still like a sense of enjoyment that comes out of watching it with him. And he's, you know, I'm seeing the wonder that my parents probably saw me when I saw the original films. So with this, yes, I was going into it just excited mostly for him. And I was just kind of curious just because we've been spending the past couple of months and he kind of found Ghostbusters on his own. I think we showed him something or he saw a poster or something and became curious about it. And then we kind of went through them all and he's become obsessed with it. And so leading all up to this film, we've rewatched everything. I was good to go. So, but I don't know if I had done that, if I would be as excited about it, because even when Afterlife came out, before my son was knew about this franchise, I wasn't very excited about it. I think there's a curiosity there just because of the family aspect of the film. And I mean, Jason Reitman taking over the franchise for his father, from his father. And so that this was like their last little, the Afterlife was the last project that they did together. And so it was really special to kind of see that unfold, even if that movie, like you said, is very, I mean, it was cool that they put in a different setting than New York. They put it in like Oklahoma and it's a small town. And so, but there's still quite a few things about it that just feel like, you know, we're trying to do the Force Awakens type of thing. You know,
the same thing, same villain, same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I was like, it's kind of tired to me. So I didn't feel like I like that movie. Okay, just like you. So we probably feel the same about that one. So I don't know if maybe because my feelings were just like lukewarm with that first one, that going into this one, I was like, just let them try stuff. I don't care. Like, and that's kind of how I felt. Like, I didn't really take anything too seriously. I don't hold the Ghostbusters franchise like very high in my heart or anything. Like, I think the first, I even didn't like the second one up into a couple of weeks ago when I watched it again. I was like, actually, this movie's pretty funny. Like, I think it's funnier than the first one, but I think the first one's a better movie. And so that's kind of how I feel with this one. I felt that this movie was funnier just because I didn't care. They could have just done anything. I think there's a lot of things that we are both going to agree on in terms of like character work, because they got so many cooks in the kitchen here, because you have the original characters, you have these new characters, and you're putting them back in New York. And it's kind of like, if you remove Finn Wolfhard from the movie, it's like, it's not going to feel any different. Like, he didn't really have much to do in the movie other than the Slimer thing that's in it. Like, there's just, so I think there was a lot of opportunities in this movie for it to be a better film. Like, for instance, there's a whole side plot going on here with the main girl,
Phoebe.
This character Phoebe with like a ghost character that I was like, oh man, like when it first sets this up, I was like, oh, this would be a nice little way for her to like interact with her grandpa without having to like see him and like have to do the thing that became controversial in the first one, which is to, you know, reanimate a character who the actor is dead, no longer with us. So they can avoid that by just kind of making it special through like no communication, like that would be your path. But instead they brought in this ghost character that kind of becomes a love interest. It's very dumb. Like they shouldn't have done that. But I still had a lot of fun with it. I think Paul Rudd is a lot of fun in this movie. I think he's having a ball, the way that he brings the theme song lyrically into the film was enjoyable to me. But like I said, like there's just too many things going on. And when it has the main plot, which is like this demon type of thing that can freeze, like the ball thing, the sphere is the coolest thing in the whole movie. And if they put more focus into that, because they even set it up the movie that way, and I was like, okay, this is cool. And then if they would have just put all their focus into that, and instead of doing the whole ghost girl relationship, they could have made it about Phoebe and her brother or something like that. Just like work with the characters that you already have in place, and you could have made it more meaningful. But all that said, I still enjoyed it. I laugh. I heard you laugh. I'd like to hear why you don't think it's funny, because I heard you laugh. Or maybe it was like a pity laugh. I don't know. I can't discount that those were my reactions to the film. Whether or not that had to deal so much with my son, I don't think so. I really think it was just like I didn't care and I was just up for anything, and I felt like they were trying some stuff, and I was into it. So recognize the problems, still enjoyed it.
All right, so you still enjoyed it. I'm sorry you enjoyed it. Yes. My thoughts on I was in for that opening scene. I like the opening scene that took place, you know, 100 years prior or so. And you get to see like the firehouse and this like organization that were not Ghostbusters, but they were kind of like paranormal investigators. And, you know, having this demon freeze everybody and then just everybody's head popping off, like that was cool. I was like into that. It's like, okay, we're here. And then the next scene, they're in New York. They're in the thick of it. The family of three with Paul Rudd is living together and they're doing their things. Like, okay, I'm on board. Paul Rudd is still having a blast and he's funny. And then it switches after like those 10 or 15 minutes. And like you said, you have these original characters, you have the characters from the new films, and then you add more characters. And Gil Keenan is not a good director. I mean, I put it in my review. He should be called out. He in Hollywood, you fail upwards. And I don't understand with this franchise and you're just allowing this to happen. I can't imagine anybody watching this in a studio or creatives and saying, this is what we're going to release. It boggles my mind. Sure, it's going to make money because it has the Ghostbusters stamp on it. It has the original Ghostbusters in it for a couple minutes, but like Preston said, this movie solely focuses on the worst most boring, dumb character of the franchise, and that's Phoebe, played by McKenna Grace. And everybody else, it might as well nobody else be in it. Sure, it's fun to see Kumail Nanjiani, who knows the movie he's in. He's barely in it, but
he's in a totally different movie.
Right, he's in a totally different
movie. I'm enjoying what he's doing.
Right, I enjoyed him in it. Like, he made me laugh in the moments he was on screen because it was somebody who just didn't believe in any of the ghost stuff. And he's just like, I just sell shoes and trying to make money. And then he's forced in this role to become a fire god, which is really funny. But how they do it is so terrible and how they execute it is so bad. And you see it coming from miles away. And the other funny part to me, only because it looks like, so Patton Oswalt is in this movie, and Patton Oswalt is a stand-up comedian and an actor, and he's known for being like the nerdiest nerd ever. It makes sense that he's in this character. His character is basically Patton Oswalt, who works at the library and knows all this lore. And yeah. I feel like he just is given, like, here, you can just say stuff and it'll be funny. Like, you don't have a script, but just, you know, write your own comedy dialogue. And that, to me, there's a couple lines in there that made me laugh. But again, none of these characters mean anything except for Phoebe. And Phoebe, they focus on, in the film, she meets this ghost character at the beginning. And like Preston said, he's like, oh, this is going to be cool. And they take it in a direction where I guess they're trying to appease LGBTQ people. I don't know. But it is the most awkward, unsavory thing, and they never go all the way with it, which, yeah. Great. But I don't know why you went that direction. And then when you had your main character try and, like, I want to be dead because I want to know what it's like. It didn't make sense for her character to do that and to follow a character that, going from the old Ghostbusters, what makes those movies work is that mixed balance of great comedy and dry wit from comedians. Because Ghostbusters is a horror movie with stand-up comics. And that's what makes it great. These new movies are not that. They want Spielbergian. They want J.J. Abrams. And with this sequel, there's none of that. It's so brooding and serious, and the only comic relief comes in the form of something that Paul Rudd said or something that Patton Oswalt said. And to me, I was like, you heard me laugh because those lines are funny. And I'm not looking at a character in Patton Oswalt or Paul Rudd. I'm looking at them just being themselves on screen. And that makes me laugh. But this movie, when you said, like, I didn't care, I just went in to have a good time. I tried to have a good time with it. And I'm just like, this is not a Ghostbusters movie. There's like two scenes where they're actually ghost busting. And the tone of what makes Ghostbusters so great is non-existent. And that's what I really found issue with amongst the script and the characters and the acting. I did love seeing them all come together in the firehouse again and Bill Murray coming in there and being actual Bill Murray, because in the last like 15 movies Bill Murray has done, he's been very Wes Anderson-y. He's been very coy and stoic in his comedy and drama. But here it's like old Bill Murray. You're just like, oh man, he's drinking, he's screaming. Like, I was like, yes, I'm in. But it's for 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's what made the second one so funny to me, because it was almost like they went into that movie with no script and it felt like it was just everything was off the cuff.
The original film?
No, the second one. Like the first one.
The second original, like Ghostbusters 2, yeah, with the Statue of Liberty. Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's like moments of that. I mean, this is just like a glorified cameo for him. It was just a paycheck. It was just like, hey, we want to put you on the poster, and it's kind of awkward if we invite the other guys and you're not there. So the way that he kind of comes in to the film, like when his character's first like introduced, I know he's introduced in Afterlife, but the way that he pops up, his first scene in this is just not like The best scene is when he comes in to the house.
He finds the alcohol. Like, yeah, it was, it's great. He's like
this is it. Yeah. It's too short-lived. So I agree with you on a lot of things. As far as like the love story goes that we've been talking about between Phoebe and a character named Melody, who's the ghost, like, I think it was almost like they're trying to, like, if you're going to do a Casper movie where it's like Christina Ricci falling in love with the ghost or connecting with the ghost when she doesn't connect with other people.
Yeah.
You make that movie, but you can't make those movies exist simultaneously when you have like this demon that can freeze everything. And then you got all the ghosts that they've trapped since 84 in the house, in the firehouse, and they're about to burst out. Like, if that would have been like the main plot of it, that would have been interesting. Like, if they were just like, this was like, I like the idea of the demon kind of being the puppeteer of all the ghosts. Like, it was like, I'm the author of all your pain kind of thing. And so like, that would have been interesting if that was the main focus. And so I wish they want to work in more stuff. They want to make you care for these characters. But I really think if they just narrowed their focus a little bit, and like I said, made it about the grandfather being the ghost for just like that one scene.
Yeah, it would have been like great. Understand. That's what you think it's going to be. It's like, oh, it's Harold Ray, it's Spangler playing chess with his kid, but it's not. It's this, which is very weird because I guess Phoebe's, what, 15? And this fucking ghost chick looks like 35. Like, she does not look in her teenage years. Like, and so if the romantic aspect's there, that's a little, I mean, it's awkward as fuck.
I think it's a problem because you were saying that they don't go all the way. I was like, it's odd that if the movie's gonna, you know, represent people or represent the LGBTQ plus community, then you need to make me really feel something. Like, it feels like they were just like doing this just to do it rather than like, let's make this a full on love story where you care, where it's something like what I was saying with Casper, where the movie Casper, they're spending the whole movie getting you to understand that Kat is such a different, can't get along with other people or hasn't found her people. And then when she meets Casper the ghost, like, it becomes like this, like, I really enjoy my time with you and I like you, and but they have so many other things going on in this film, and it kind of complicates things and doesn't make you, it feels kind of like just put in there to be put in there rather than being an earned storyline.
Yeah, it's painful to watch, and you know, you think this romance thing is happening, but they only talk for like less than 10 minutes through their whole time, it seems like. And you're supposed to believe that, oh, they like each other or they love each other. And how is this demon ice god contacting the ghosts? Like, it doesn't, there's a lot to it. It just seems like they just put everything on paper and didn't revise it. It was like, we just got to get from point A to point B. It doesn't matter how we get there. Yeah. And then, if that's not the worst part of it is paying homage in a heavy-handed, on-the-nose type of way to the original films in such a, that doesn't make sense. Like, you see the purple ghost in the library, and it's so stupid. It doesn't need to be there. Slimer. Yeah.
Actually, my son pointed this out. He's like, why? So Dan Aykroyd was just walking by. Ray Stantz was just walking by. He wasn't being loud.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't understand why the ghost was like shushing him, and then he was already leaving.
Yeah.
And then they did the ghost. Yeah, it was just I hate when that happens, where like they don't trust that people are already into these characters or into this world, and like, you don't need to remind us why we loved the original. We have that movie, we've watched it, we want to see them on other adventures and interacting with other ghosts and
right,
like,
Like, I mean, you could have done that scene. Yeah, you could have done that scene equally as good as that. They're walking by, everybody misses the purple ghost but Dan, and he just walks by and he sees her, and like he just like has a moment. It's like, there she is, walks by, like
she gives me the creeps or something like that.
Yeah, still gives me the creeps, but like it's. But then also having Slimer in it, and in like just a dumb way, you know, I mean, I know it, I was like, why are we having Slimer here? And it, you know, it comes back in it, but it's just, it's a dumb thing to show, because in part two, Slimer's driving a fucking bus, you know?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's just like, but here it's not.
Yeah. And, like it would have been interesting if they took like the animated TV show route, and like Slimer's kind of turned into like the mascot or the dog of the house.
Yeah. Right. No, it would have been better that way. And then you have the human characters, which you have the head of the library still, which doesn't make sense. Like, I mean, you see him, but he's just there. And then you have the villain of the original film, who's like, this man has no dick. He's in this, but he is such a pushover because he is so evil in the original movie. And he's just a pushover. And this one's like, he's not evil. He's just like, his motivation is not there.
Just for votes.
It's not a good movie, and I did not like it. And I think this franchise needs to be put to rest unless they could actually get some talented people behind it. Because the acting in it, the actors are great. They just, the story and the people behind it, like, I think Gil Brennan, is that his name? Gil Keenan just needs to do something else, not make movies. Because this is crazy to me that even after when he remade Poltergeist, which is just terrible as well, like, why are we giving these people opportunities? Like, we just talked about good filmmakers on our other show, Fear and Loathing in Cinema. Why is somebody like Mike Cahill not getting this opportunity? Or does he not want it? Or because I imagine he would tell an amazing Ghostbuster story. Or at least do it better and write it well. But I just, after seeing it, it's like, did we forget what? Because with Gil Keenan in charge, it's like he's taking his favorite parts of a movie and putting them in his own movie. And so many directors do that. And it's okay to pay homage or wink to something, but you've got to do it nonchalantly, not like this. And I don't know if that's the studio or the producer saying, we need to do this. But
I think it could be. I think there's a lot of discussion online with quite a few movies where it just feels like these movies are just being like made by the producers, and they just need a body in there. And Gil Keenan, I don't want to make too many assumptions, but it's like, hey, he's an affordable body. Let's put him in there.
Right.
You like Ghostbusters? All right, cool. You're our guy. I honestly thought Jason Reitman was doing this until right before the movie started. And then I was, oh, he didn't do it.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't do it.
Just kind of lightly wrote it, maybe. It's a bit. So my whole positive energy out of this is mainly just because, like I said, I just don't really care too much about the Ghostbusters franchise because I was not a child of the 80s. I was a child of the 90s. And so as much as I used to watch the animated series and things like that, it just wasn't something that I like protect. And so I totally understand fans coming into this and being like, we deserve something that is more capturing the spirit and energy of the original. And that's just so hard to do. Like, getting those four together was like just like a miracle in a way. It's just like you can't really recreate that in the same way that, you know, trying to get somebody to play Freddy Krueger or something like that. But it just would have benefited so much if they had taken even more chances on this and tried to do things differently rather than trying to recapture the magic with new players in place. Like, just explore the tone a little bit, like maybe do something a little different. I don't know. Like, they, I just, like I've been saying, like there's so much potential in there. There, even this movie being called Frozen Empire, like that's a cool name. The demon in this is really cool. I think he looks, what's that guy's name, that YouTube?
Slenderman?
No. Well, he does look like Slenderman, but the Jeremy guy that does like YouTube reviews, he said that it looks like something off of a magic card.
Yeah,
it does. So it's scary looking. There's a sequence when it gets out for the first time and all that, and it's really, really creepy. But and the opening is really good. And so, yeah, like we've been saying, and there's promise. There's a lot of promise there. It's just it got a little too.
Everybody made terrible fucking decisions in this movie. And even where Winston Zeddemore, he's this billionaire philanthropist, but he has put in a lot of money in this secret like paranormal research lab where they house ghosts, almost kind of like Cabin in the Woods. And they focus on the dumbest fucking ghost that's just a red laser pointer going from object to object. They don't even focus on that creepy ass creature with you're just like, who's making these decisions to it doesn't make sense. And then even like the fan favorite from the last movie, Afterlife, so many people liked Podcast, that character Podcast, he's like an idiot in this movie. He's like non-existent.
Well, I mean, I was honestly surprised that he was in this. I was like, oh, now that they're in New York, how is he going to get there? Oh, they grandfathered him into this because he was in.
He's here for the summer. No, my parents think I'm at rocket camp or science camp or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of funny. But he has a good energy about him. It was just like everybody in here, like even McKenna Grace is a great actress. And we've seen them do like really great stuff in other places. It's just the way that it was written didn't give them the place to like show their full range or reach the place that we wanted them with their characters. And so,
That's how
it goes.
Yeah, I gave it, I think, a 1 out of 5 stars on my review. One out of five. I said skip it, actually. You do not need to see this film. I think I'm reading my last paragraph of my review. And it just, it's upsetting, but whatever. What are you going to do? I did not like the all female Ghostbusters. Which is odd because I was so looking forward to that.
Yeah. I like all the people.
Yeah.
That are the Ghostbusters in that movie, but it just didn't quite gel in the way, like it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as inventive as I thought it was going to be, and it just didn't quite work. And so, I think just after like that film and then Afterlife, I was like, this water is no longer good.
It's tainted. Tainted meat.
I think that's what ultimately gets me feeling the way that I do. So like people listening are probably saying, well, yeah, he's agreeing to a lot of the things that are problematic about it and all that. And so, yeah, I can admit that, but I still have to admit that because I personally just didn't, after those two movies, I didn't really care what happened. It could have just been like they could have gone to space or something. I wouldn't care. And so I was down for anything. And so I admittedly just cracked a smile every now and then from the moments that you've described with Kumail and Patton Oswalt and Paul Rudd. And so they're Bill Murray when he pops up. And so there's enough there to kind of make me smile, but then there's a lot that just makes me scratch my head and kind of rubs me the wrong way. But ultimately I still had a okay time with it. So
there you go. Yeah. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. It's out in theaters right now. My Bloody Podcast. It just ultimately feels like a kid's movie and not made for a lot of adults, which I think is the wrong way to go. I think you can make easily great movies for everybody, such as the Ghostbusters, the original film. And I just think it speaks to a lot. And this doesn't, because they're trying way too hard in this movie, and it just doesn't. I doubt I will watch it again when it comes out on 4K eventually. Yeah, I'll probably give it another shot, because I always like to revisit films, but I'm going to go into it with a very narrow mind. So hopefully it expands it.
Yeah. It's just like they took the wrong lessons away from all the films, even their last one, like with McKenna Grace. Like, I felt like after Afterlife came out, there were a lot of girls that dressed up as McKenna Grace's character Phoebe for Halloween and things like that. And so I feel like going into this one, like, she doesn't really get too many of the special moments that made her character a little more special in Afterlife. Like, there's the sequence toward the end when it comes to fighting the demon, that where she gets to show that side a little bit. But I wanted a little bit more, wanted a lot more from this. And
okay. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's all right. I think it's bad.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I know. My Bloody Podcast, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. If you see it, you see it. If you don't, you don't. I don't think you're going to miss anything. But we love that you listen to us. We love that you're here bringing you all the horror goodness. We're going to try and convince Preston to watch Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey films. Because I actually think he will like them, because they're actually made pretty well. And it's very gory and right up his alley. You just got to do it.
I guess it'd take me a lot to kind of get over that hump, in the same way that you've been trying to get me to watch like something like Human Centipede or something like that. I just haven't taken the plunge. And actually, the trailer played last night ahead of Rad, and there's an old lady next to me that was seeing Rad, and I was like, oh, she must be like going with like her daughter, who probably loved the movie Rad in the 80s. And so the trailer for that movie came up because it was a Fandango experience for Rad. So they were showing like other like limited engagement type of stuff. So they showed the trailer for the Winnie the Pooh movie, and she was like, oh my God, what have they done to Winnie the Pooh?
No, I actually think you will like the Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey movies, because I mean, it is low budget, but it's like Evil Dead. It's like practical effects, gore, fun. Human Centipede, Preston, the first one is excellent. Like, it is a dark thriller, man. And there's like hardly any gore in it. It is just like a thriller. It's good. I mean, part two and part three are its own thing and ridiculous, but one is actually good. Yeah. So we'll get there. We'll get there. But My Bloody Podcast, thank you for listening. We're My Bloody Podcast everywhere. I'm Brian Kluger. Find me at highdefdigest.com, boomstickcomics.com. You can find Press and I on our other show, Fear and Loathing in Cinema Podcast everywhere, where we're doing March Sadness. You can find me at em-radio.com, electromagnetic radio on Wednesdays from noon till 2, and Brian Kluger everywhere on social media. How about Preston?
Blu-ray Dad on Instagram, freshfiction.tv, dittenartsy.com for reviews and all my South by Southwest coverage. I'm still catching up, but I got quite a few reviews up already.
South by Southwest. All right, we'll be back next time with more My Bloody.